Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Oi! The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents CF Montreal 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Welcome to CF Montreal 3 Questions. I'm Amy Walsh, and I'm joined, as usual, by Ollie Brett, who is a play-by-play man and host for RDS, also BPM Sports. And if you would like to check out some really in-depth and very cool interviews throughout MLS, throughout soccer leagues, throughout the Quebec soccer landscape, check out Ollie's show FC 99. It's in French for so anybody who is French-speaking. Like, it's can't-miss content. So that's a good plug for you there, Ollie, right off the top. How you doing?
Doing very well. I appreciate it. And once in a while, like it was the case before the game last Saturday against Orlando, got a chance to chat with Ariel Lassiter. Always interesting to get a bit of an insight from a guy who not only has an interesting career, but also has a very famous dad in the North American landscape. Just knowing that he was going to be a running back in football is kind of an interesting take once you see him a few hours later scoring what should have been a winning goal at Stade Saputo. So always interesting in English and in French.
Can we go back to that a little bit? So who is his famous dad?
Roy Lassiter. Roy Lassiter was an American international. He played for, I don't know how many clubs in MLS, and he's coaching MLS Next Pro in North Carolina now. So that's the reason why Roy has still not been up to Stade Saputo to see his son Ariel since he joined last year from Miami.
Very cool. And what kind of fan and pundit am I that I don't know this information, but yet another reason why we should be tuning in to FC 99.
There you go.
The basis. Yeah.
Double plug.
Yeah. Here we go. Well, I will now because I've hesitated, but you and my husband, you share a beautiful bald head, so you could do with a couple of plugs.
Okay. It's more than a couple, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Or else it would just be like a little thing at the front.
Yeah. It'd be weird.
Nobody really wants.
It'd be very weird.
Yes, it would. Okay. So the 3 questions that we'll get to today, the first one's conceding goals late. Why has the team not learned to close out a match? Mm-hmm. Second one, they still managed, despite that, 2 goals and claimed a point at home with a decimated attacking core. So perhaps things aren't so bleak. Question mark. Needed to put that in there. And then finally, Sam Piette eclipses 13,000 minutes played for club.
Yeah.
He's the first outfield player in CF Montreal's MLS era to do so. So he's an invaluable leader and captain. We know that. But how has this game evolved over the last 8 years with the club? So those are the 3 questions that we will get into. But just to frame it a little bit for anybody who didn't watch last weekend's action. So 2 weeks ago, after a comprehensive performance and 3 points against FC Cincinnati, the team was unable to put together a convincing 90 minutes at home, despite only 1 change to that 11. So, Ollie, we'll start with conceding goals late. How come this team can't kill a game?
Well, I'll start maybe with a process of elimination, and I'd be curious to get your feeling on it. I was asked on Monday morning on the radio, do you think it's a fitness issue. And I'm curious to know what you think, but just the eye test, right? Because I don't have the data, I don't have the GPS. We'd have to ask Barthélemy Delacroix, who's the fitness coach at CF Montreal. But just looking at them, I never get the feeling that physically that team is in major trouble, and that's what makes everything else crumble. What do you see in that regard?
I tend to agree with you, because you look at that performance against Orlando City, and they grew into that game. They grew in strength in terms of quality, but also in terms of how they imposed themselves and their will on their opponent. And if you don't have the fitness in your locker, you're unable to do that, no matter sort of what tactically you want to accomplish. You have to have that physical base. And I think that they do have that. So for me, it's more between the years. It's a mental performance and a mental kind of fitness or fortitude aspect.
I totally agree with you. And now that becomes a major, major priority for Laurent Courtois to kind of identify, is that mental challenge coming from one or two guys who should rally everybody and make sure that you get settled? Is it a technical or tactical aspect where you're not able to keep the ball in the most important moments where you could kind of deflate the opposition instead of giving them the feeling that they can actually go for it? You know, when they bring on Rafael Santos, who's a left back, and they put him on left wing, they're clearly saying, we're having a go on this left side. But if they don't have the ball, they'll never really feel that they have a chance. And when you look at how many points they've left on the table, 80th minute and later, including at a time, 6 points dropped. You drop points in Chicago, all three. You dropped 2 points because you had one, and you dropped 1 point at DC United. You dropped 2 points at the weekend again because you get a draw, but you had the win. Like, it was in your back pocket. It was done 88 minute. And you've also conceded 8 goals altogether, 80th minute or later. That's massive. Now, I understand you've got matches where you had players sent off. Chicago was a good example. Same thing with Seattle, where you lost 5-0. But there's just something mentally that collapses, or that at least gives a fighting chance to an opposition who shouldn't touch the ball at that stage, because there's enough quality in that team to keep it and just frustrate the opposition, especially at home. So you're playing for 500. I think you would have signed at the bottom of the sheet at the beginning of the year if I told you that after 8 games and 6 on the road. Having said that, you could easily have 4, if not 6 more points in the bag, and that's the frustrating part.
Yeah, and that's the way I think fans felt, and then the team felt, that it was not a point gained, it was 2 points lost. And to the stats that you just put together there, so 8 goals out of 16, so that's half of the goals that they've conceded overall in MLS, have been after the 76th minute, which is tops in MLS, which is not a category that you want to be leading in. Right. And to that, and I was looking at the goals myself, you also have goals that they're conceding. And this is pointing to kind of our collective angle about, you know, the mental aspect of the game, closing it out and managing those in-game moments. Is they're also conceding late in the first half in stoppage time.
Yeah, against Dallas.
Before they're going into the locker room. So, you know, that's something to me that is a decided factor. That this is a mental thing that they have to manage. And is it collectively? Is it via coaching? Is it through mental performance training with somebody like that who's on staff, which they have had in the past?
Yep.
Or is it in personnel and making sure that, as you said, I think really astutely, that you have your leaders on the pitch who are rallying in those moments and making sure that players are staying present and engaged. But I think what you said as well about the opposition, about Santos being brought in and the end of the game, the way that they were jogging across, they had like a flurry of corners at the end of that contest. Orlando City, they were not content with just a draw. No. They were pushing, and they were pushing because that's coming from them. That's the impetus, but it's also because they can smell blood in the water. They can see it in the eyes of the opponents that they're unsure about how to negotiate the end of these games.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because you're in the same, just psychologically, it's so fascinating because you're at the end of a match where traditionally in 2024 so far, you've struggled to hold on to what you had if you're CF Montreal. Whereas for Orlando, a week before, they were training twice at DC United, What did they do in extra time? Duncan Maguire comes in and he scores the winner. So they were seeing the same situation completely flipped on its head and seeing the 3 points instead of seeing 3 points being dropped. And Maguire came really, really close as well. You'll have to find a way. And I don't know if that's bringing back Corbeau. I don't know if that's just staying with the same guys, but having better coverage. You'll have to deal better with the big physical presences, because obviously Christian Benteke is a beast and he caused you a lot of trouble at DC United. But when I think it was a mistake by Oscar Pereira to start Luis Muriel, I think if Duncan Maguire starts, Orlando maybe win that match. I think it was a better match from an Orlando perspective against CF Montreal's defense. And people are going to start figuring that out. And that physical battle, Montreal will have to adjust, not just at the end of the matches, but for the whole game, the whole 90 minutes.
Yeah, because we've seen that backline struggle with that component. And I think that the goal that you concede really late with Angulo on that back post, people are pointing the finger at Edwards, saying he didn't cover his man. But there's a series of errors that happen prior to that in terms of pressure on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then you see a reluctance perhaps of Joel Waterman to engage.
He's on a yellow.
As Maguire checks to the ball. So perhaps can you be more disciplined, but can you just manage that physicality a little bit better? But I wanted to go back before we move on to our second question, just touch briefly on Gabriele Corbeau. What do you think, Ollie, is going on there? Why has he fallen so far out of favor? Is it just a matter of getting other guys some valuable minutes so that you can be more reliant on more of a defensive core and give yourself more depth there?
It's a really good question. I think if it was next year, I'd know Laurent Courtois a bit more to be able to answer as to, is it falling out of favor or is it just turning over? Because I'm not 100% sure when Alvarez was taken off originally. That was, three games ago now? I don't think it was a jab at him. It was more a question of bringing in Sosa. But now it's as if we haven't come full circle yet on his use of players who came out of the rotation. Corbeau is an example, Alvarez as well, still haven't come back in. Is that a definite decision because he knows who he'd like to have at the back? I'm speaking of Courtois. Or is it just this kind of 3 or 4 match game span where he'll come back to those players eventually? But I don't think he can go that long without using Corbeau. I think he's too solid. I think he's really underestimated. I think he is a calming presence. I don't think he's as vocal and has as much of an outgoing personality as Joel Waterman. And I think that's good for Waterman. But you also need that kind of a rock of a presence feeling that Corbeau brings you, especially to close out those matches.
Yeah, because that can be something that players look to that just calms everybody down, because you know you have somebody who's stoic and even keeled and so consistent in key moments across the game. So perhaps that could be something that could help them.
Yeah, and just I think it's a question of what profile. And that was a hard one, right? Because it was 1-1. You score in the 88th minute, so everything you're doing up to that point is to win the game. Then you have to transition and change your mindset and hold on to the 3 points. So that's tricky because you have to make that turnaround super fast because there's only a few minutes left before you're in added time. Having said that, when you're trying to close out a game, I think you need the Corbeaus. You need the Samuel Pietz. You need a Wanyama. It doesn't mean you need them all on the pitch at the same time, but you need those profiles that have experience, that are able to put the foot in, that are able to keep the ball and also just have that radiating calmness about them to say, lads, we have the 3 points in the bag. Let's just see it out.
But to your point about Wanyama, that type of profile on the pitch, Courtois utilizes him effectively to do just that the week before, and yet doesn't choose to use him against Orlando City. So is that because he thought, given the personnel, the players on the pitch, that they could do it? He had full confidence in them, or, you know, he just elects to put Saliba in?
Because Corbeau hadn't come on, right? I'm just trying to remember what the sub situation was at that time. Did he feel that they were kind of taking on water a bit on the side? Is it that's the part that I'm still a bit foggy about. Mm-hmm. But I think that now it's happened too often. Like, you have to, I don't want to say be conservative, but you have to be more pragmatic once you have it done. Because I love the fact that he was going for it, just like Orlando were doing once they got the equalizer. But Olivier Renard, when he came in, and that's absolutely coherent with what we saw with Wilfried Nancy, it is as well with what we're seeing with Laurent Courtois. Olivier Renard always said, our fans will always rather a 3-3 draw than a nil-all draw. And that was on the back end of very defensive, too pragmatic of an approach as a whole. Now it's an attacking team, but once you have it in the bag, that's where you have to make sure you have the right pieces, the right profiles on the pitch at the same time to make sure you see it out.
Yeah, and in the right moment. So maybe a little bit of that pragmatism that was employed effectively in those six games away to start the season, maybe you just need a little bit of that at home.
And that's, you've experienced it at the highest level. It's a hard shift when you do it from 1 minute to the next. If you come in at halftime and you're winning 3-0 and your coach tells you, okay, you've got 15 minutes to take on a new game plan because we're just closing this out for the last 45 minutes, that's one thing. But when it's euphoria of setting the stadium alight with Ariel Lassiter who wins, and now all of a sudden, lads, we have to turn around and go a lot more pragmatic or defensive, call it what you like, that's a hard shift to make. And that's where I think the reps under Courtois are going to be super important over the next few months.
Yeah, the reps and then having that in their locker. And as you alluded to before with Orlando City, having done it, come back, mm-hmm. win 3-2 against DC United. And then they're galvanized by that 100%. In those particular moments when it's replicated, when they find themselves in that again. So CF Montreal just have to get it over the line once. And that can be a touchstone that they can look back on as they move through the season and navigate those difficult moments.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Our second question here, just moving on a little bit, is they still managed, like, despite we've been, I think, measured in our criticism, but it was a little bit negative because they were unable to claim all 3 points and see that game out. And yet, they still managed 2 goals. Got a point with a decimated attacking core. You would say maybe their top 4 attacking choices or players unavailable due to injuries. And Toy comes on, seizes his moment, gets a goal, even though he was relatively uninvolved prior to that. So perhaps things, Ollie, aren't so bleak.
I agree. And I just add a little something, though. Uninvolved before that?
Yeah.
But because that team doesn't play forward enough at very important moments. Like, we keep talking about the Wilfried Nancy era in Montreal. Yes, absolutely. But I was watching Columbus's game against Portland at the weekend. Fantastic 2-2 draw, finishes with a free kick on the post. Like, incredible scenes at Columbus. And that's where Montreal is going next week. But they have guys playing, making runs in behind. And remember what Laurent Courtois said on January 8th. He came in and he said, I want everybody, starting with the goalkeeper, to be obsessed with the notion of creating chances. I'm sorry, being good on the ball doesn't get any points on the board. It doesn't give you goal scoring chances just falling from the sky. And there are too many instances in that game at the beginning of the game and against FC Cincinnati where Coccaro was making runs in behind, where Ariel Lassiter was making runs in behind, or in this case, Toy was doing so, and the ball never came. When it did, fantastic through ball from his left foot as well, with Samuel Pieta puts him through. Mm-hmm. He had acres of space, and that's exactly where he can really do a ton of damage against a team that was playing high up the pitch. Is it going to be the same against Columbus? I don't know. But what I do know is that there are way more opportunities to play it more simple. You don't need to double up every single pass. If you double up, it's the open space somewhere, allow somebody to lift their heads, and that's where you expect Lasseter to make the run in behind, Toy to make the run in behind. And I think we need to tip our hats to Mason Toy. The guy hadn't started a game since September. He hasn't scored in an MLS match since June 2023. He took that goal like a guy who's already got 10 in the bag this season. Mm-hmm. He was calm, and his celebration had a bit of a, hey, you guys think I'm really far down the pecking order? How's that for you? And personally, I absolutely love it. Hats off to Mason Toy on that one.
Yeah, and Sam Piette talked about him, saying he's a guy, and everybody, especially front runners, you need the reps, not only in practice, but you need to see that ball going into the back of the net. But Piette said that he's a guy who particularly needs to have that confidence just right in order to perform. But that ball gets sent in behind. He runs onto it, takes a little touch, goes around Galese. He still has a fair amount to do. Ollie Brett, like, and he roofs that ball like a guy who's started every game since the beginning of the year and has seen those reps and been in those moments and converted.
I don't think he touched on it, but when you see that ball leaving his left foot, it's going to the roof of the net, right? Do you think there's a second where he's just, his heart stops, or
yes,
was he always? Because I saw it, and
his mind did.
He never flinched, and I thought this is going over the bell in the stands behind that 1642 crowd. Yep. And it just goes in the back of the net, and he turns around, does his little celebration as if there was absolutely nothing to it. Fair play to him, because I don't know where he got that confidence. You're looking at the hierarchy, he's really far down. Maybe it was a kind of a feeling of, I've got nothing to lose, and if it's only to set myself up to go somewhere else in MLS, this is my moment to shine. And that's exactly what he did, just like Lasseter, who unfortunately should have had a second match winner in two games.
Yeah, absolutely. And done very, very well for this team. Sort of the shackles off, in a sense, not playing in that wingback role, relieved of some of his defensive responsibilities and free to express himself as a front runner. But our last question, because we could dive into all of that stuff, is about Sam Piette. So a stalwart for this team for a long time, invaluable leader and captain. So he eclipses 13,000 minutes played for club, the first outfield player in CF Montreal's MLS era to do so. But I want to talk to you, Ollie, and hear your thoughts on how his game has evolved over the past, because this is his eighth season now with CF Montreal.
His eighth season. And I remember Patrick Leduc, who played for the club, who used to be a colleague of mine at RDS, and we
friend of the show
as well. For just recapping for those who didn't watch the previous weeks,
okay.
And you can just
how
go
dare
back.
You people.
Go, yeah, exactly. Just go back at the Footy Prime thread and you'll find it. All that to say, spring of 2017, Canada were about to play Curaçao at Stade Saputo. We speak to Sam on our podcast on RDS, and we ask him, I mean, you're a Quebecer, you're playing in lower divisions in Spain, you're a Canadian international. Have you been contacted? I mean, it was the most logical thing ever. Have you been approached by the club? Are they keeping tabs on you? And the answer, and he wasn't complaining about it. Sam hardly ever complains about anything apart from getting slaughtered in Atlanta last year. It's the only thing I remember him complaining about. Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, no real contact. Had one or two conversations, but it wasn't really about bringing me in or asking if that was something that could happen. A few months later, he's not only in Montreal under Mauro Biello, but he's instantaneously like your guy in the middle that you could build. And that was a tough season in 2017. He's never come out. He's seen six different coaches. And we had Olivier Renard in our pregame on RDS at the weekend. And I thought it was really interesting because he said to us, we asked him, obviously, first guy to do it in MLS only, because guys like Patrice Bernier did it. But beginning of 2000, the years in 2000 when he was starting his career, lower divisions with the Impact, and then MLS. But we asked Olivier, What makes him so reliable, and what makes him still such an important guy for you at this stage? And he said there's a before and after 2020, when Thierry Henry really pushed the envelope with Sam. He said, his words, before that, all his passes were extremely accurate. He had an incredible completion rate, but everything was going back to Evan Bush, who was playing in goals at the time. I think that's a slight exaggeration. It conveys more the feeling that people had, maybe around the league, maybe in the national team, but certainly at the club. If Olivier Renard is saying he was playing sideways, maybe a bit too much backwards. And interestingly enough, a few minutes after Olivier telling us that on RDS, Sam plays a true ball with his left foot, no hesitation. And that came from Thierry Henry, who really worked hard with him to always have your first option forward. Now, if that's gone, no problem. Recycle the ball. Make sure you hold on to it. Play sideways or backwards if you need. But if it's on to keep the thing going forward, that's what you do. Henry needs credit for that. But Olivier Renard needs credit too, because remember, when Henry comes in, it's because there's this new philosophy of a team that wants to attack, that wants to go forward. Whereas Rémi Garde before that had been given the mission by Joey Saputo to stop leaking goals in 2018. We tried doing the same in 2019, but the spectacle, the entertainment side was just evacuated. It vanished from that team. That's what Henry wanted to bring back. That's what Nancy brought back. That's what Laurent Courtois has as well this season. And one of the constant pieces, important pieces of that puzzle has been Samuel Piet. And it's just amazing to see him doing what he's doing.
Yeah. And Sam Piet, always one of my favorites, because whether it's the hair tuck behind the ears or the aggressive shirt tuck into the shorts, he's tucked himself firmly into the lore of this club. So long may that continue. Big fan of his, and great to see him continuing to evolve his game and still get called into the national team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the one thing. And that's on just a personal judgment. Maybe sporting-wise, it won't be the case in 2026. Just a few minutes at the World Cup in 2026. I think it was harsh on John Herdman not to give him a few minutes, especially against Croatia. Mm-hmm. I mean, that game was gone. It was just a throwaway from a guy who'd been with your national team for a decade. And a guy, just to finish on that, who's extremely humble. Can you believe, like, nobody's ever done that apart from goalkeepers. Evan Bush played 13,000 minutes in MLS, but no outfield player had ever done it. Can you believe Sam didn't have a clue that record was his?
I actually can believe that. Doesn't strike me as the type of guy who's preoccupied with his own stats.
He learned that on Monday. And the game was on Saturday. He didn't know before. He didn't know during. He didn't know after the game. And that just sums the guy up. He's never doing it for himself. And I think that's one of the great reasons why 7 years after coming in, he's still so important to CF Montreal.
Yeah, real, real soldier and provided tremendous service to the club and also to the national team. So long may that continue. And CF Montreal next face an old friend and foe in Wilfred Nancy in Columbus. So back on the road, and then Nashville until they're back home on May 11th to face Inter Miami and Messi and co. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Ollie, is there anything you would like to plug before we go? Or did I do that all at the beginning?
I'll plug Laurent Courtois going back home as well, because you're talking Wilfried Nancy and his relationship with CF Montreal. But it's going to be interesting to see what kind of welcome party Laurent Courtois gets from Wilfried Nancy and his old colleagues where he was coaching MLS Next Pro last season.
Yeah, and perhaps a real style battle on the touchline.
Absolutely. Hopefully.
In terms of style game. Okay, thanks everybody for listening. This was week 10 of CF Montreal 3 Questions. Like, listen, and subscribe to Footy Prime, and like and share on socials. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.